Good to be back with you this evening. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. We're starting to come to a close of our discussion of Exodus. Getting down here to towards the very end of the book. And last time around, we saw in Exodus 34, Moses seeing the glory of God. And we came to discuss what that was about, that he was needing that as a sign that God would truly be with the people, go with the people, continue with them. Moses had seen the glory many a times before, and this request was special in that not that he wouldn't necessarily see something new or something different this time, but that he would be able to see that glory once again even after the people had broken the covenant. And so it was really a critical point for Moses. And Moses remains on the mountain for yet another 40 days. So that's kind of, it resembles definitely the previous 40 days of which he had come down and the people had built the golden calf. Well, here he has gone back up. He has seen the glory of God yet again, which shows that God faithfully will be there for the people, even though they have broken the covenant. Two more stone tablets are made, and the Ten Commandments are once again written on tablets of stone. And so we come now to verse 29, where Moses, 40 days and 40 nights, he has come back down with the new tablets of stone. In verse 29, now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, that they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to him, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of his face shone, or Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. So, this is a very interesting situation, and it's certainly full of a lot of spiritual concepts. And Paul, we're going to spend quite a bit of time with Paul talking to the Corinthians tonight, because he elaborates on this, and he really helps us to see some things maybe that we are missing in this text, and he helps us to understand all the spiritual connotations of this and the reflections, what this has to do with Christ and what this has to do with us and all of that. And so we're definitely in the text. I mean, we've been in the book of Exodus. I mean, the church, the redeemed, we're all over the place. Israel is that picture of the redeemed of God, of that church and that congregation in the wilderness, that ecclesia. You know, Stephen, when he's on trial in Acts 7, he talks about the ecclesia, the church. The church of the wilderness, and that's who they are, and they are a reflection of us. They are a foreshadow of us. They are the redeemed out of bondage, and so we're definitely in the text. We're all over the book, So we're here as well. This is a very personal text to us, and Paul is certainly going to show that very specifically and very clearly to us. But what a fascinating text this is. I remember even as a kid thinking about this, you know, and it's just, and it doesn't matter, you know, as from where I am now and looking at it, I kind of have some of the same feelings about it as I had from the very first time I ever read it. It is just fascinating. It's interesting. And it's there's some strange things about it too as well. But Moses comes down from that mountain, and you know he has absorbed the glory of God. He has been so near the presence of God that his face is now radiant with brightness, and you know it's not natural, and that's why everyone is afraid. This is not normal, you know. And Moses comes down, and to them, it's kind of an extraterrestrial kind of situation as they're looking at this, and they're afraid. They don't want to be around Moses, and so they take their steps back. They don't want to be near him. They have a lot of fear about this situation, and that's when Moses has the. I guess Moses has the idea. It doesn't specifically say who has the idea. Definitely doesn't say that God had the idea for Moses, his face to be veiled, to be covered up. And so now he is disguised among the people. And this is not just a one-time thing where he's come down from Mount Sinai and there's this shining, radiant face, illuminated face with the brightness and the glory of God. This is, but then it, you know, it faded after a few days or something like that. This is for the rest of his life kind of thing, you know, and he had to keep this veil over his head throughout his daily life and throughout his daily existence with the children of Israel. And it was a constant and a daily reminder here of a veil between the people and God's glory, which has been well identified in the chapter. God's glory is His character. It's His grace. It's His holiness, His purity, and His goodness, and His willingness to forgive, and all those things we dealt with last time around. And how fascinating is it that Moses comes down, and he has a piece of that with him. And it manifests outwardly that God's glory manifests outwardly. He has absorbed some of that, and he's illumined with it. And yet the people need that veil. They need that wall of separation between themselves and the goodness of God and His grace. And you think, you know, what bad decisions, what bad hearts. And that's what the bottom line is of this text, is the hearts of the people were hardened. And this is why they did not want to look upon the face of Moses. They could see the glory of God upon the face of Moses, and their hardened hearts, their rebellious attitudes, they didn't want to see it. It made them uncomfortable. It's fascinating as Moses talks to them, and every time that he does come and talk to them about the words of God, he keeps his face unveiled. Right? He wanted them to see that. And he wanted them to be afraid. He wanted them to be uncomfortable, you know, as they took their step back. They're uncomfortable with this situation. They want him to be covered up, right? This concept of that veil or, a disguise is the idea of the word behind the veil is a covering and a disguise. It is a wall between them so that they don't have to see this or be reminded of this. And so Moses lives his life with a curtain over his head, right? It's strange, and it's really terrible. It's really a terrible situation. It shows us what the people really are like in their hearts. So, but let's step back for just a moment and just, you know, instead of focusing on the people, let's just celebrate what Moses has here. Because what we find at the end of verse 29 is, he said, Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone when he talked with him. That is, when he talked with God. And so Moses has been talking with God, and Moses has absorbed this, you know, in his body. He has absorbed the truth of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, you know, his glory. He has absorbed all of that. He is illuminated with it. And I read this text, and I think about applications for us, and it's really just incredible to think about this statement. His face shone because he talked with God. And we can talk with God. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 talks about the fact that we have boldness to enter the most holiest. It begins there in verse 19 of chapter 10. Boldness to enter into the most holy place, the holy of holies, the very presence of God. We go beyond the veil. Isn't that interesting that we go beyond a veil? Right? Not the same veil that was over Moses' face, but the veil that was in the temple. And that we, because of the blood of Christ, because of the salvation, the redemption, because of the amazingness of His grace, we go beyond the veil, beyond the wall of separation. We don't have this kind of separation. See, the people here, what we're seeing in Exodus 34, they wanted the separation. They were afraid. They wanted to take a step back. They wanted a veil over Moses' face. They didn't want to see it. But those who are in Christ, we go beyond all barriers. We have passed through every barrier that would keep us a step back from God. We are not a step back from God. We are not a step back from God because we have surpassed the barriers of sin. We're not going to deal with that. You know, we're not going to have sin keep us from God. So we repent of our sins. We confess our sins to the Lord. We are not going to allow any kind of wall of separation and a veil to keep us, you know, to stop us in our tracks. We are going to go through Christ for our access to God. And that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 10 is pointing out, that as we go through the veil, which he says there, which is his flesh, okay, is the sacrifice of Christ. We go through the sacrifice of Christ, we enter into the holiest of holies, the very presence of God, the very seat of God and his mercy and grace. And that we can have that entrance and have that access, that we can talk with God. We talk with him in prayer. We have the new covenant, which is the full revelation of God's mystery of salvation. No mystery anymore. It's fully revealed, fully manifested. He talks with us. We talk with him. We are with him. We are in his presence. And so just as Moses, he was with God's presence. Hey, he talked with God. And what was the result of that? His face shone. His face was revealed. The glory of God was revealed to all the people as Moses came down from the mountain. And as he continued for the rest of his life that way. And to think of this, this is the boat we are in just as well. As we are in the presence of God because of the sacrifice of Christ, this is the kind of redemption he's provided us with. And not only has God talked to us through his word, we have communication with him. We speak with him and to him in prayer. He is for us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is near, always near. and our face. I mean, what are we to look like now? If it happened to Moses, it should have happened to us as well. And we should be now, because of our salvation in Christ, we should now be spending our days with the illumined face of the glory of God. Our life, our bodies, our actions, our words, our countenance, our everything. Because we have absorbed God's truth, because we've let it sink in and indwell among us, and we've had a heart that is so spongy, right? Not hardened, but just ready to be completely enveloped by the Spirit of God, by His Word. That we have so absorbed it in such a way that we would live our life that everyone would be able to see the glory of God in us. And so that's such a fantastic statement there in verse 29. The reason why Moses' face was shining was because he talked with God. He was in the presence of God. He talked with God. And as we are in the presence of God, as we can talk with God, as we have that kind of relationship and that kind of nearness, then the result should be the same for our lives as well. Let's see what Paul has to say about this over in 2 Corinthians in the third chapter. Second Corinthians chapter 3, Paul deals here with a little bit of a comparison and contrast between the old law to the new law, the old covenant, new covenant, as well as a comparison and contrast of Moses to Christ, as well as some comparison and contrast to the people of Israel and the church, the Christian. Verse 6, he talks about God who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So here we're already seeing some contrast that he is painting. Very stark, very strong words. The idea of something killing versus giving life. Can't get any stronger words than that. And he says here that we're ministers of this new covenant, the new covenant of Christ, the New Testament. It's not a covenant of the letter, it's a covenant of the Spirit. And the letter that he's referring to is the old law. So that's the terminology he's using for the old law. It's the letter. The letters could actually be seen because they were engraved on stone, you know, the Ten Commandments. And so that's the kind of word usage that he's going with. When he talks about the letter killing, well, the letter was all about grace. You know, the letter was about redemption. It was about salvation. But what Paul is pointing out here about the letter kills is the fact that the letter could not give them life. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, what did he say? I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Because the letter could not provide them with life. It couldn't make them alive. The blood of bulls and goats sprinkled upon and on the altar could not remove sin. And that's been well established. It never was supposed to. It never meant to do that. And so the letter couldn't provide life. So it killed. You know, it showed their death. It showed their loss. It showed their separation. And that's why you have so many pictures of the separation. The people of Israel, they couldn't even come into the temple. They couldn't come to the holy place. They couldn't come to the most holy place. They couldn't get near the presence of God. There was wall after wall after wall after wall after veil. They could not get near. And so, but Christ, by the Spirit, He has brought life. And so here's the contrast, the letter versus the Spirit, the Old Testament versus the New Testament. So in verse 7, he says, but if the ministry of death, okay, again, you see how where he's going with this. He's talking about the Old Testament, Old Covenant. If the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. So he points out the realities of the old law. He's, again, very strong words that he's using. He's just trying to make a point here, you know, and he's doing a good job of it at that. But the idea here is we have, under the old law, they saw their condemnation. They saw their death. All right, they didn't see life. They didn't see a perfect sacrifice. They didn't see their sins taken care of. They had to keep dragging animals, live animals, to the temple and take them by the head. And they had to keep on doing that week after week, Sabbath after Sabbath, Day of Atonement year after Day of Atonement each year. It wasn't being taken care of. They felt entirely and completely condemned. And rightly so. That's the intent of the law, was to teach them of their loss, to teach them of their separation from God, and to teach them of their need of a Savior. The old law comes first to teach all of these things so that we understand. Otherwise, do we not have an understanding of our need of a Savior? Do we not have an understanding of our need for life? So the old law teaches that those things very well and in a very clear, horrific, bloody manner. It teaches all of that. So, but he says, even this old ministry, that ministry of the letter, even that old ministry was glorious. In fact, it was so glorious that the people, they could not look steadily at Moses. They had to take a step back. They had to look down. They had to put a sheet over his head. They didn't want to see it. It was too much for them. And it was too much for their hearts, especially for their hardened hearts. And so they put a veil over it. But as he's saying here, the old ministry was glorious. It had the glory of God. The old covenant taught God's mercy, God's grace, God's goodness, His brightness. Everything about Him that is just light. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. So if you think, if God's going to make a law, and if God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, we read about in, you know, 1 John, then in that law is light. And in that law, there's no darkness at all. Right? Absolutely. So whatever covenant God makes, whatever laws He makes, Old Testament, New Testament, it's all light. It's all His glory. It's all His grace. You know, Him working, you see Him working with us, and you see Him teaching us through His words, His covenants, His testaments. This is all His goodness shining for us. And it was too much for those people. They didn't want it. Put a veil over it. And so he says, what Paul is saying here is recognize the old law. it was glorious. It was so glorious that Moses' skin absorbed that glory and he was radiant for the rest of his life. So how much more when God himself comes and walks this plain? How much more glory have we beheld? You know, that's what John in his gospel, his introductory material there in John chapter 1, you know, he pointed out that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he said, and we beheld his glory. And then he goes further and he describes it. He says, the glory as of the only begotten of God, of the Father. Full, he says, full of grace and truth. You see the description that John paints of the glory that is beheld in Christ. It is the fullness. We're dealing with Moses walking the earth. He's mere man. That's it. He's just man. And he walks the earth, and he's illumined with the brightness of God's goodness and grace. You turn to Jesus, he comes to the earth, he's walking on the flesh, flesh like Moses, but he's God. You want to talk about the fullness of glory? See, Moses, you know, he's just illumined with it. But Jesus, he had it all. It was the fullness of the glory of God because he was and is God. And so as he's pointing out here, the glory of this ministry of righteousness, the New Testament, he says, this exceeds in glory. This excels far more. In fact, he points out that the old glory was passing. It wasn't permanent. The law of Moses was never intended to be a permanent structure, a permanent covenant. But the law of Christ, the ministry of righteousness, is permanent. And so this glory remains, he says, and so it is so much more glorious. In verse 12, notice the contrast he paints here. He says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses. How about that? Look at what we've got. I mean, this is incredible. And so we're very bold with what we do. We're very bold with what we say. We're very bold to share this. But Moses, he didn't have that boldness. He put a veil over his face. He covered it up. He disguised that visage of God that illumined him. And so, unlike Moses, we have boldness. Verse 13, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. And he notifies us as to why. And see, we don't really get this from the old record. We just know that they were afraid. But Paul expounds on this in verse 14. He says, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Covenant, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. So he points out that what was happening in those days, the reason why Moses put a veil over his face was because the people's hearts were hardened. They were rebellious. They didn't want to see it. It wasn't that they were just overwhelmed with just sheer terror at the sight of Moses. There's more to it than that. They didn't want to see it. This is God's This is a manifestation of God's goodness. And you look at Moses on the mountain, what does he say to God? He says, does he say, please don't show me your glory? No, he says, please show me your glory. I want to see your presence. I want to see that you're truly with us. And the people of Israel, they see Moses. Moses is a walking testament of God's presence. God is with them. You can see it on Moses' face that God is there. God is with him. We don't want to see it. So this is the hardness of the hearts of the Jewish people. And Paul indicts them here, right? Look at the indictment. To this day. How about that? This wasn't just a problem for that generation out there in the wilderness. That generation that never got to see the promised land, they fell. They all died there in the wilderness. This wasn't just their heart problem. This goes on to this day. Every time they're reading Moses, every time they're reading the law, every time that the Jewish people there in the first century were reading the law, he says, there is a veil over their hearts. There is rebellion in their hearts. There is denial in their hearts. They don't want to see the true realities. They don't want to see the truth. And this is an excellent text that really helps us to see why they hung the Lord on the cross. The law of Moses pointed to nothing but Jesus. And here comes Jesus, and they crucify him. How? I mean, they have a veil. They have a veil on their heart every time they see the law of Moses. They get out of it whatever they want to get out of it. They're very religious people. But being a religious person does not make us right with God. Being a religious person, being a devout person, zealous for God, does not mean we have a relationship with Him. It does not mean that we are near and have fellowship with Him, are in His presence. And that's the situation of the Jewish people. They thought they were the children of God. But in reality, they had a veil over their hearts. They have placed a veil right over the Word of God. I mean, you're looking at this page right now, we can see the words. But imagine if we took a quilt, and laid it over this page. How much are we going to be able to see? How much will we get out of it? They didn't get anything out of the law of Moses that they were supposed to get out. Or they would have accepted their Lord. Notice when he says the veil is taken away in Christ. You know, this is the only way. And for someone to be able to see and to see Christ, the veil must be taken away. So in verse 16 he says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What do you think he means by that? Well, I mean, liberty, freedom. Context, you know, as far as freedom. What freedom is he referring to here? But the fact that the veil is taken away. I mean, that's what he's pointing out in the context. There's liberty in Christ. The Jewish people, or even, you know, people of the world, they want to rebel against God's Word. They don't want any part of it. But to turn to Jesus, the veil is taken away. To turn to Him with a tender heart and repentance, all that veil is taken away, and we can see clearly. And that's the liberty that he's referring to. That's the freedom. Freedom can mean so many different things in so many different contexts. But specifically here, this is the only thing that Paul has in mind, is when one turns to Christ, they are free from the veil. Whatever veil, whatever hardness, whatever blackness we have disguised and put upon our hearts and on our minds, in Jesus there is full liberty of those things. Liberated. And it's just Him and us, and nothing in between. Full liberty. No veil, no curtain, no wall. Just the presence of His glory. And so Paul concludes there in verse 18 saying, but we all, the Christians, we all with unveiled face, not like Moses, but with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So our story is different. Our story is different from Moses. We have unveiled face. We have boldness. Because we have seen the liberty of having our eyes open. We have seen and felt the liberty of having our hearts made tender. And to be able to see the truth and to see it in its fullness. Because we have that, we're not going to put a veil over it. And we're not going to disguise it to the world either. We do want them to see it as well. And they may look at it, what they see in our lives, and may the veil not be on our end, may it be on their end if they rebel against it. But too often it's the other way around. Too often the world doesn't need to even put a veil on, because the Christian is walking around with a veil for them. We can't do that. There's too much at stake here, not just for our life and for our salvation, but for the salvation of others. Paul says we need to be beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. The face of Jesus, like a mirror. Like when the world looks at us, what do they behold? We're like a mirror of Jesus. We're like a mirror of His character, a mirror of His glory, a really, really good reflection. Good reflection of that. And why? Because we're being transformed to His image. So of course we're going to look like Him. Of course we're going to act like Him. Of course we're going to talk like Him. Because we're being transformed into His image as well. We are working and maturing and growing because we have all liberty here. We have the full truth before us. We know the path to take. We know the way of right. And we have been truly liberated by the truth of Christ's Word so that we can be this way, that we can act this way, that this can be our lives. And our hearts are not veiled, that they're not hardened, that they're not like a rock, but where they're soft and pliable and can truly be molded and transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ, so that we truly can be like our Lord and our God. And it's just incredible, you know, these things that Paul is pointing out here. And we're seeing all of this with respect to what we saw in Exodus 34. We don't want that Exodus 34 situation. We don't want that to be our life. We don't want the church to be that way. Jesus said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and that they would turn around and they would start to glorify your Father in heaven. All right, so they're going to start now to follow that path as well because they saw your good works, Jesus said. He said, be a city set upon a hill. It can't be hidden. You got a city upon a hill, everyone can see it. Even at night, the lights, everyone can see it. So that's the point that Jesus is making. Do not veil. Do not veil the gospel. That's not the design of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was not designed to be veiled. It was designed to liberate. It was designed to free individuals by God's truth. I appreciate your attention this evening. I'd like to invite any and all who desire to come into the Lord for salvation. Won't you let us know? Maybe we study with you. Maybe you already know exactly what you must do to be saved. Again, let us know what hinders you tonight from doing so while together we stand and sing.